in Toronto lab. That is PI is Naomi Nagy, and we are presenting some work that we've been doing in working with our corpus, which has many sociolinguistic interviews, and particularly we're talking about the problem of transcribing heritage Cantonese. So just before I get into that, I'll be talking about just a bit of background about our project. So the HLVC project is a large-scale project that we're looking at variation and change in 10 of Toronto's heritage languages. One of them is Cantonese. And we have several goals in this project. We want to document and describe heritage languages that are spoken by immigrants and two generations of their descendants. And here we can make three kinds of comparisons. So we can compare between the homeland and Toronto, so Hong Kong and Toronto Cantonese, for example. And then we can also compare between the generations, so we can make comparisons between the first generation, the second generation, and third generation immigrants. And we can also compare the Toronto variety to the majority language in Toronto, which is English. And so here we can understand changes in progress in both homeland and in Toronto. We also want to create a corpus that's available for research on a variety of topics. And we also want to push variationist research beyond its monolingually oriented core and its majority language focus. Much of the research in variationist sociolinguistics is focused on English, and usually English in majority language contexts. And probably following that is languages like French and Spanish Portuguese, but we want to push that beyond those languages. And finally, we also want to promote heritage language vitality through research, training, and knowledge mobilization inside and outside of the classroom. And so today we kind of want to focus especially on the second and the fourth points here. So in just a little bit of background about Cantonese in the two multilingual cities, we see in Hong Kong that a majority of the population uses Cantonese, and also there's a majority that can also speak English, but only 5% are reported to have very good English. Whereas in Canada, we have 4.5% reporting Cantonese as a mother tongue. It is, in fact, the biggest mother tongue in Toronto. But we have 96% able to speak English and 77% mostly using English at home. So this is there's this difference between the proficiency of English versus Cantonese in the societal level. So in our project, we've looked at many variables. Some of which are phonological variables, such as the first four on there, we have four vowels that Holman C. has looked at in his dissertation, as well as subsequent work. And then we also have a study on VOT, and as well as a study on the NL merger. We also have several studies on morphosyntactic variables, such as classifiers, prodrop, and motion event expression. And here we see there's change in some cases, but no change in some other cases. And Nagy and Press, which is a volume by Naomi, has a chapter on Cantonese and talks about all these variables in details. So what our project the main bulk of our project is dealing with is this corpus that we have of Cantonese interviews, which are audio recordings of interviews that are conducted by our Cantonese RAs, who are heritage speakers. So we have a heritage speaker interviewing either a homeland speaker or a heritage speaker. And after we record, we have transcriptions. So we have two types of transcripts. One is in Yunping, which is very useful for phonetic and phonological analyses. We also have Chinese characters for half of our corpus, which is very helpful in terms of looking at lexical variation or morphosyntactic variation. And so traditionally what we've been doing so far is we are manually transcribing. So our RAs are listening to the recordings and transcribing in Yunping or in Chinese characters. Yunping is much easier for the heritage speaking student volunteers and RAs who have limited knowledge of characters, but there's an increasing need for Chinese characters so that it's easier to search in the corpus for lexical and morphosyntactic analyses. So what we're trying to do, and what I'm going to be talking about in this, is to trying to expand our coverage of our corpus to have a fuller set of data with full transcriptions in characters. So this is our transcription status as of this year, and so basically you can see half of them only half of them have characters as well as Yunping transcriptions, and then the other half has only Yunping only, and we want to cover the other half with characters as well. So we also know that there are inconsistencies with our transcripts, so there are orthographic variants that different REs have been using because we haven't come up with a standard set of characters. And in the Yunping, we also see signs of mergers in the RAs, in the volunteers. So especially with tones, it's a very difficult thing for our RAs, especially because they also need to remember which tone matches with which number. So what methods can we use to systematically generate additional character transcripts, leveraging the fact that we have this partially annotated data set? So here we have two methods that we want to talk about that we've been trying out. The first is the corpus-based imputation, which is a more naive approach. And then the second is machine transliteration, which is mostly due to my co-author, Brian's work. So with corpus imputation, what we're trying to do is taking the fact that we have some fully annotated interviews, so we can use these existing annotations to predict the most likely character for every given syllable in Yunping. And we also know that our interviews have similar themes and similar topics that come up. So based on, because we're working with the same interview script that the REs use, and so there should be many recurring words across these interviews. As we can see here in the figure here, the distribution of homophones shows that about 61% shows there are syllables that only have one character, and that's and 23% have two characters only. So this is kind of a big chunk already, and it's pretty easy to make use of that and predict. And with the cases of two characters with the same Yunping syllable, there's often there's one that's high frequency and one that's low frequency, and it's usually easy to tell which it is. So For any, so what we do here is for any utpin string that is missing character transcriptions, we looked at the fully annotated corpus and find all the annotated characters that are sharing the same utpin. And then we directly impute the most likely character that shares the utpin. Or we can also store all possible characters in the order of frequency or probability for each, for easier manual correction by a research assistant. And in the future, we could also improve this method by looking at bigrams or word segmentation. But we can move on to our second method, which is machine transliteration. And here, we're looking at a method that's applying machine learning, which has become more accessible and widespread in research, but it's still quite rare in for Cantonese. And here we adopt, we adapt a machine learning model developed for transliteration of Mandarin pinyin to characters for the equivalent task with Yudping. So this, we're relying on publicly available corpora of Cantonese, where we have both the with character and Yudping transcriptions. So we're working with the HK Can Core, as well as many corpora that are available from Childish. And these corpora have pretty similar to our corpus, because they are, many of them are speakers who are bilingual, and many of them, and of course, all of these have conversational or naturalistic speech. And so we're working with over 4 million Chinese words from over 1,000 interviews. So after training on these corpora, we apply the model to our own corpus data to convert Yudping annotations to characters. So this is a screenshot from Elon, which is where our transcription happens. And we start with the Yudping that our RAs have done manually. We have also done forced alignment before, work by Peters and C. And what they've been doing is the forced alignment is training a prosody lab aligner to give us the forced alignment based on the audio. But we won't be talking about too much about that. But what we want to focus on is the machine learning, machine transliteration, and the corpus imputation, which are highlighted there. As we can see here, so the tokenized characters, that's manually done. And we, if we compare that to our two different methods, we see it works pretty well here. And here as well, it works pretty well. So we have basically only one mistake here, 知道. Probably the tone is wrong as well. But in terms of, so previously that was a good example, but here we see some issues that we see. So both methods show poor results when the original transcription in Yudping is incorrect. So there, some of them are genuine errors by the transcribers. There may be lexical gaps, like hapzak being transcribed as yapzak, and then some tone errors or some vowel errors. There are also mergers in the speaker, which could cause issues with frequency because there, you would create more possibilities with the mergers. And then there are also possible mergers in the transcriber, so tone issues, like babe transcribed as babe and sa transcribed as sa. With machine transliteration, there's sometimes a slight advantage when dealing with these problems that we saw previously. So with guo versus guo, somehow the machine transliteration overcomes these obstacles and produces the right characters. And with the corpus-based imputation, sometimes it shows also a slight advantage with predicting simpler or more common words like 早于 here. And so we report, so one way to evaluate the methods is to report on these character error rates. And we see with the corpus imputation method, so the more naive approach, it's about 0.3 error. So that's 70% of the time we have the right transcription. And we see an advantage with the machine transliteration overall. But we also see a slight difference between the homeland versus the heritage speakers transcripts. So with the homeland, it's much more accurate than the heritage speakers interviews. And we expect this because what we've been training on is Hong Kong data, but the heritage speakers are from Toronto, so we don't really have a basis for that. But it's still slightly better than just using our own corpus to predict. So the corpus construction can be expedited using semi-automated processes, as we have seen in this talk. The naive approach gives us about 70% accuracy, and the machine learning approach boosts our accuracy a little bit. And in the future, comparing these approaches can also help with our proofreading with the transcriptions. And also through this, we can see that we can promote heritage language vitality through knowledge mobilization. So speakers who are less or non-literate in their variety can still contribute to their documentation of their own language variety. And we can see that using the two methods that we've been talking about, it kind of increases their contribution by using what they know and expanding it to a greater data set. So just want to give thanks to our Cantonese RAs, and these are our references.
Thank you, Voto. And any question?
Project. 我留意到你哋嘅 transcript 度有好多 systematic 粵拼嘅 error， 我諗緊就係如果喺 send 去 machine 個 transliteration 之前，用 rule based 嘅方法改曬嗰啲 systematic errors， 會唔會個 error rate 應該會即刻低好多？
Mm.
例如喺我見到有好多係 BDG 嘅 onset 跟咗 tone 5 tone 4， 呢啲係絕對係冇可能嘅 syllable。
嗯。
仲有一啲就係肯定係 non-syllable 嘅粵拼，咁改曬嗰啲之後再 feed 入去，我估個 error rate 應該即係最少再 boost 到零，即係0.05咁上下。咁另外就係我哋有好多其他 resources 或者加埋嗰啲去做個 training， 或者會更加好。咁呢個一個 comment， 另一個係一個問題就係我想問大概而家係你 handle 緊幾多個 hours 嘅 data？ 即係如果係 instead of 用而家即刻用 machine learning approach 去做呢件事，會唔會係用錢用人去解決咗而家嘅 dataset， 可以再令到我哋有更加多 reliable 嘅 data 去做下一步嘅嘢？所以我會好想知道你個 dataset 嘅 size 係幾多？
係啦，我揾翻嗰個 slide， 係。 大概每一個 speaker 都係佢嘅 interview 都係一個鐘長嘅，咁應該即係63個鐘大概佢 data， 咁係嘅，我哋係之前都係一路係用即係 RA 嗰個方法，咁但係就係想嘗試下咁樣嘅做法，但係definitely 係。 如果用manual checking 係會好會有一個好好好嘅 data set 咯。
我想問一下咧，我想問一下係佢哋喺講嘅時候，Comex 嘅情況多唔多？而有 Comex 嘅時候，或者有啲係 long word 啦，可能索性只係個 transcription 係點樣 transcribe 嘅咧？即係直接英文啊，定粵拼啊，定係咩？
個 transcription 咧係all caps 嘅英文嚟嘅，係用翻 orthography 英文嘅 orthography。
但會唔會區分啊 long word 同 comex 啊？即係有啲好明顯係 native 已經係完全係變曬 Cantonese knowledge 嗰啲肥佬啊，同其他 foreign present 比較。
係啦，應該冇一個好 systematic 嘅 protocol， 但係應該咧，譬如肥佬或者巴士嗰啲咁嘅係好固定嘅 long word 就應該係粵拼嘅。
即係有 Chinese character 就唔用粵拼啊？
係啦，有 Chinese character
有就用粵拼，有粵拼冇嘅就唔用。好 ，thank you。
我都想 follow up
加西有個問題，因為喺 bilingual children 嗰個 corpus 咧，我哋會如果一個係 code mixing 咧，我哋後面會加個 tag。咁如果一個 code switching 咧，我哋後面就會括住嗰句係。係中文定英文咁樣個，譬如中文就二四 H O， 英文就係括住跟住 E N G 咁樣，可能可以參考一下 bilingual 個 corpus 嗰個做法。
係definitely，thank you。
我補一個問題啊。Speech error 你哋會點樣處理？
Speech error
即係佢讀錯咗或者講錯咗，你哋會講標個啱嘅粵拼定係跟翻佢個？
係用翻佢嗰個，盡量係跟翻佢嗰個發音嘅。
好，唔該曬 ，Justin。
Thank you。
Raymond 有問題。Raymond 可唔可
以開個麥？哇！我好快就一個好簡單問題啦。咁你哋嗰個 heritage corpus 係？基喺多倫多係咪？即係所有 data 係多倫多嘅。其實我好奇有冇其他 area 㗎？例如 Vancouver 有冇類似咁樣嘅 corpus？
有UBC 應該係有一個 corpus 係，我諗唔到係邊，應該係 Rachel Su 佢有一個 corpus。
Oh, OK， 好，咁我知道佢係邊個。OK，thank、okay, you。
唔該曬 Justin，
唔該曬 Justin， 唔該曬咁多位嘅問題。好，下一個。Presentation 係 Tommy Lee。